This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Let me give you two quotes from his book on page 168. The Royalty Class Black Politician. First quote, problem profiteers. There is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy and partly because it pays. Some of these people don't want the Negro to lose his grievances because they don't want to lose their jobs. That's Booker T. Washington. Next one. One of the advantages and disadvantages of representing blacks is their shameless loyalty. You can almost get away with raping babies and be forgiven. You don't have any vigilance about your performance. Member of the Black Congressional Caucus. Burgess Owens has written a book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, Glenn. Looking forward to chatting with you guys.
Yeah, it is. You were on with us a few months ago, and you were absolutely fascinating. Let's just start with the news real quick. Okay. What happened in San Francisco this weekend? Where do you stand
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, the quarterback of the 49ers not willing to stand and then coming out and saying, I won't stand for this country or won't stand for this flag until the country represents what it...
Well, it speaks really more so not only just to that young man, but to our country as a day. We're at a point where we now can see what's happening through our educational system or lack of education. We have young people who live in the freest country in the history of mankind, who can literally, and I don't know if they've got the notice yet, but we have a black president for the last 8 years.
And, really?
And this young man, I think he just signed a $100 million contract.
Mm-hmm. Don't relate to his oppression.
The oppression is, it sounds like a communist. It sounds like a socialist. Mm-hmm. And that's really where, when I talk about the crisis that we are at this point, it's not a black, white, racial crisis. It's an ideology crisis. We're dealing with whether we're going to accept the idea of socialism and Marxism and atheism, or go back to the American way, Judeo-Christian values, which meritocracy is part of it, the idea that content and character and talent are colorblind, and that's where we were trending as a nation.
It was.
I grew up down south, so I can look back and say with all pride how I look at our nation. We are a country that always looks to find its better self. And guys that I had trouble with, that we fought back in integration, segregation days, are some of my best friends on Facebook today. Because we always look to find our better selves. That's what, as a nation, we've always done. And we have to get back to that. And we can only do it through the Judeo-Christian values of looking at each other the way God does, inside out versus inside out.
You were a Democrat for a long period of life. And we were just talking about, before we went on the air, about how you protested in the 60s. Were you part of the King protests?
Yes. seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I asked my dad. There was two or three of my buddies. We decided in school we were going to go out and protest. And I found out I was the only one that showed up. But aside from that, I asked my dad if I can go out and do it. And I just took for granted that he would say yes. He'd be proud of me, actually. But when he did, he asked me why. So he had me to sit down and think through and explain to him why I was going to do this. And that was the process that was going through that era. We were told to think critically, to ask questions, and to push against different thoughts. And we were doing a good job of it. As a race and as a community, we were one of the best, matter of fact. And that's one of the quiet secrets that people don't realize how successful the black race was before integration happened.
That's a great step for parents to take any community now. Because, I mean, you see this all the time, especially with social media. You bring up Facebook. It's like people are constantly sharing stories about, hey, this young person is out there standing up for what they believe in. And, you know, do they actually believe it? Why do they believe it? Why are they an activist? I mean, being an activist in and of itself isn't impressive. It's doing it for a real reason and a real cause that will better society and better people.
You look at Colin Kaepernick, who knows nothing about the issue.
Exactly.
He doesn't know anything about what's going on.
Most of the people,
there's piles of dead bodies in the streets left by police, and that's what he's going on.
Most of the people who are running Black Lives Matter, not necessarily the people in the streets,
they don't know.
But the people who are violent and the people who are running it have either no grasp of the facts,
yep,
or an intentional
disregard,
obscuring and disregard for the facts, because it's about communism, about Marxism and socialism.
It's to go back to the young man, the quarterback. You're absolutely right. When you listen to his comments, it has no foundation of reasoning or context. He's heard that his people are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it, and again, coming as an athlete, I can remember the tendency of kind of becoming an elitist, because you're doing things that other people can't do, and you wonder, well, I'm here, but what about the rest of the folks? But it's not until you understand the free enterprise concept, the country that allows us, no matter who you are and what your background is to go out and dream and struggle and risk and try again, that you understand that anybody can do it. So, and to a degree, part of his problem is he's become so wealthy so quick in the way he's done it. He has no relationship to really what it takes to make it work.
How did that transformation happen for you? How did you go from Democrat and believing the line that was fed?
It was interesting. I was a Democrat, but I still was brought up with conservative values.
Mm.
And that's what I think people have to understand. The Black community had very strong conservative values. And that's
still
why.
Pretty much do.
Still
and
do.
That's why.
They just don't know they do.
That's why they're being attacked the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason, and I'm going to segue for a second.
What do you mean they're being attacked
I'm going to segue back to the NAACP.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize it was started not by blacks, but by 21 white socialist, Marxist, atheist, race-controlled Democrats. And it was a community at that time, Martin Luther King Sr., of Christians, entrepreneurs, patriot, industrial blacks, that was so focused on education because we were trying to prove ourselves. And that's why the community that I grew up in, 50% of black Americans at the time I grew up were part of the middle class. We had the highest percentage of black men committed to marriage in the early 60s than any other race in our country.
Right.
The strongest, the highest percentage of entrepreneurs in our country. So in order to change that, they used stealth. And the attack came from people who really had an agenda. A lot of people don't realize this too. The first anti-lynching law in 1918 was put together by a Republican from Missouri. Mm-hmm. The person who fought against it was the first white president of the NAACP. He was a socialist, and he thought it was unconstitutional. A lot of people don't realize that there was a reason why these people who had nothing in common with my race decided to attack my race and to change the way we were moving. And the same thing is happening today with BET. Black Entertainment Television has not been owned by blacks for 15 years. White, liberal, Redstone, Viacom, and they pay $3 billion to have access to my community. And ever since they've done that, it's been anti-white, anti-police, anti-American, anti-family, anti-woman, liberal filth. And the reason they've done it, because they know...
It wasn't that way before?
No, it was actually put... They put another company, Roberts Broadcasting, out of business, who was trying to put a positive messaging in the black community. Between the regulations and the Democratic Congress, he actually went to in front of the Congress pleading for support to take away some regulations because he realized that minorities were being pushed out,
mm-hmm,
and they sat back and did nothing. So you have to understand that there's a party that has a very dark heart. And sometimes as Americans, it's tough for us to understand there are people who actually strategize on misery to help them to get more power. But there are people who actually think this way. And that's what's happened to the black community. And unfortunately, you see the Black Lives Matter today. It's because of 15 years of this liberal propaganda.
Well, it's also because, honestly, funding from people like George Soros. I mean, when the Tea Party came out, I remember the Tea Party was funded literally by bake sales and everything else. Nobody had $1 million. George Soros and his allies, $100 million to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. When you think about... We talk about the ideology. When you think about the concept of Black Lives Matter, and that it comes every election cycle, some issues. you have to ask, and this is what I ask my Black American friends, do Black lives really matter when you have 1,800 Black babies being aborted every single day? We have 83% of Black teen males across the country unemployed. And you have 70%. 83% of Black teen males. And Chicago is 93%. You wonder why there's so much anger on the streets, right. So much hopelessness. And
70% of the homes now without a father.
Without a father. And have we heard about this over the last 8 years? You think about it.
No.
This should have been the mandate of a national mandate to get the Black race back on track and to reconnect it with our past.
And people don't know enough, and I'm so glad you're getting that message out, that the Black family unit was the most solid ethnic unit in the country for a long time.
A lot of people. Are you familiar with Black Wall Street?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
In
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Black Wall Street is one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Here's African-American community chased out of the South. They go to Oklahoma. They build a city. It was more successful than...
Millionaires everywhere.
Yeah, millionaires everywhere. And it was all Black. And they had, in this small town, three major banks. They had two or three movie theaters. I mean, it was a boom town. And majority owned their own cars when nobody had this. The Democrats and the Klan got a hold of it and burned it to the ground and killed, I think, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, just slaughtered them and erased it from history. Nobody knows it. 2,000. 2,000.
What town was that?
This is early. This is 1910, 1912, in that range, and early.
But there were some real atrocities in the early part of last century.
Sure,
nobody knows about
all progressives.
That's amazing.
What is interesting? Because again, I grew up in a segregated Black community, so I saw entrepreneurs around me. You have to understand what happens when you have a young man who sees teachers, academia, business owners. All of a sudden, the limitations of our dream just disappear. There was nothing that I could think about that I didn't believe I could accomplish because around me there were people that were encouraging me and telling me. Matter of fact, it was our goal not to be bested. As a race, our goal was not to have any other race to best us. That's how much pride we had in who we were. And so those who left Oklahoma was pushed out. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what they did. Not knowing all the details, they went other places and built their businesses because at the end of the day, it was about entrepreneurs. They did not trust the government because they realized the government couldn't do anything for them. So they built their own.
Yeah.
And this is where the integration came in.
Yeah. Most people don't know. You probably do. I can't remember her name right now. But there was an Oprah Winfrey before Oprah Winfrey. The most successful woman in America.
C.J. Walker.
Yeah.
The first millionaire, Black or white.
Yep.
First man of self-made millionaire.
Woman. Wow. It was turn of the century America, erased from history.
She died in 1916. That's how far back.
Yeah,
and to go back to what I was saying earlier, there was a time in which because of the pride in our country, because of our Christian base, example, guys, and this is so important. I just found out a couple years ago, my great-great-great-grandfather, Silas, came to this country in the belly of a slave ship, 8 years old. He died as a property owner, patriarch of his family, built the first church and school up to seventh grade, and he was a Republican in Texas. That was the nature of our race, but we were looking to make sure that people respected us, and we showed how strong Americans we could be. That's why the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah.
My dad was volunteered to be a scout in the Philippines, and it was his last day that the proudest thing he had ever done, and he did a lot in his lifetime, was he served in the military in World War II. So that was the nature of our race, and we can get back to it by getting the message out at the end of the day.
It's great that you want to achieve and be the best that you can be, but to use that for such a negative outcome as beating the Eagles in the Super Bowl,
it's
really
something. All right. Burgess Owens, the name of the book is Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
We're talking to Burgess Owens, author of a new book, Liberalism, and How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. And I have to tell you, Burgess, it is rare that we meet somebody as well-read as you are, that really, truly who has looked at the roots of things. You know, everybody else is dealing up at the surface. And if they don't understand the roots, I mean, we have done a lot of investigation on stuff, but we have never looked at the roots of the NAACP. It was started by white guys.
Yeah.
White, really bad white progressives.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who say, well, that Burgess, that's not who they are now?
I say that there's a law called a law of seed and harvest. And we need to understand there's certain basic things that we're not going to change and we can't dictate because we want to change. You plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. And no matter how we color the apple and how we color the seed and how we pray over that seed.
Good fruit doesn't come from a bad tree.
It's going to be the same. It's going to be an apple tree.
Yep.
When you start off with an ideology that's based on stealth, lies, empathy-free ideology, it's going to end up being that. The NAACP started off as a white group of Marxists, socialists, atheists, race control
and
Democrats.
Eugenicists.
Today it's black Marxists, racists, atheists, race control Democrats. Mm. So the only thing that changed was the color. The ideology is the same. That's why when I talk about the Judeo-Christian values in our country, those values are so enconched in everything that we do and everything we've been that we couldn't help but become a better society every generation because of the values, the seeds that was planted back from the very beginning. So we have to just get back to understanding that, you know, we can't.
How do you do that, though? I mean, we seem as a nation, both white, black, doesn't matter what color, completely lost and disinterested.
That's a very good question, and I got a good answer for you. It seems like a daunting task, but see, what's happened is the Democratic Party now is like a drug addict. It needs the black vote. 90-95% it needs it, and that's why they'll do anything they can to keep it. I talk in my book about political free agency. If we can get the black, and I'm going to go back real quickly. In the Civil War, in the War Revolution, there was one-third of patriots, one-third of Tories, and the other third were clueless or cowards. They didn't do anything. It was the one-third that gave us the freedom we have today. 28% of black Americans today feel the same way I do about our country. We love our country, love our race, love our kids. We love the future we see in front of us. We just have to begin to think again and not be part of the groupthink.
But how do you do that? Now, I'm up against the break, so we're going to come back, and I want to get an answer to this. Because all of the media, all of the institutions are headed in exactly the opposite direction. Public support and even private support, $100 million to Black Lives Matter. How do you fight that when everything is going in the opposite direction? We'll get to your answer when we come back. Name of the book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Yesterday, Gene Wilder died. Yeah. And there was nobody that was better on screen, at least for me, that made you feel good than Gene Wilder. I brought in Willy Wonka's Golden Ticket today. This is the one that Charlie Bucket found. And I don't know of a more joyful performer than Gene Wilder. He could play crazy, but if that was crazy, you always wanted to be around him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and he went for it in that movie. You know, of course,
he went for that in all movies.
He was fantastic, and I love that movie.
That's why Johnny Depp was in such a bad position when he tried to
create.
Because everybody compared it to the original, and there was no comparison.
Yeah. Cannot do it. But he sold all out for that. That
was awesome.
His first ever.
Yes.
I mean,
he
was
great. And I didn't know he had Alzheimer's. Did you?
No.
Did you know that?
Yeah, no. Well, it was reported from his family that after he was diagnosed, he wanted to keep it secret, and they said it was because he couldn't stand one less smile in the world.
I will tell you that Mary, my daughter, had her brush with greatness. She used to work at a grocery store when she was first in college, and she worked at a grocery store where we lived in Connecticut, and Gene Wilder lived in our town. And he came in shopping one day, and she was doing something at the shelves, and she heard this voice behind her, and he said, "Excuse me, miss, I don't have my glasses. Can you tell me the price on this?"
You know that voice.
And she said, "All I could think of is, that's Willy Wonka."
Yeah.
And she said, "I turned around, and it was Willy Wonka." And I said, "Did you say anything?" She said, "I've been with you too much, Dad. I just gave him the price and left him alone." It was really nice. Awesome. We have Burgess Owens with us. Liberalism, How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. You are a history teacher, and it's fantastic to be around somebody who really knows history the way you do. You're talking about, in case you don't know who Burgess Owens is, he played with the
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders.
National football.
Was that the team that defeated the Eagles?
Yeah, it was. The Eagles, yeah.
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
killed them. Is that the Super Bowl ring that you're wearing right now?
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you got to see. You got an you have an Eagles sweater on, but he has a Super Bowl ring. Interesting. One got a sweater, one got a ring, but that's a different story. So Burgess is a black man who was a Democrat.
Wait a minute, he's black?
I hate to notice that.
So before
I know,
this?
I know. I hate to notice
Republican.
That. But I wanted him to. I wanted to say that in case you happen to be listening to us on radio, because he is very outspoken and knows history and says that we have to find a way to reach the black community. And I don't know how to do that when BET is owned by a bunch of white liberals who, you know, basically are jamming a line down everybody's throat. When George Soros is spending $100 million on Black Lives Matter, when the president doesn't care, you know, or I shouldn't say that. He is furthering all of the policies that put the black community in 80% unemployment with their kids. Mm-hmm. And when the Democratic Party and all of the institutions around it are progressive and have been a destructive force, when you have Detroit looking the way it does, and yet you'll have 95% support of the Democrats, what do you do?
Well, I tell you, first of all, I truly believe in the American way. I believe that the Americans will always figure out a way to overcome. And this is going to be the case in this case here. I think we have to understand that it might seem like a daunting task, but we have 28% of black Americans feel the same way I do. We love our country. We love our race. We love our kids. We love other Americans. We're the ones that said proudly, all lives matter. And when those 28% of Americans begin to understand what the Democratic Party has done and the fact that we are losing our value by groupthink, there's something that says a lot about the free agency. And when we get political free agents, in which we are now putting our values first, our principles first, all of a sudden that 90% goes on 85%, goes on 80% of blacks that will actually every single time vote. And that changes the political landscape.
I mean, I hate to be a little black rain cloud here on your parade, but when have you seen any Americans of any color standing up for their principles? And, you know, you have 28%, you say 28% believe in these values, but, you know, all studies will show you very few are willing to take a beating to the head to stand when it's unpopular. It's not only unpopular, your kind of voice is torn apart, mm-hmm. and destroyed.
They will say you're not even black for saying
it. Destroyed.
And so the answer, for us to make that transition, it doesn't mean that every 12 or 28% have to stand up and be as voiceless as I am. They just have to start to study and think and to question and wonder and put their principles first.
Is that happening, do you think, Burgess?
Well, I'll say this. It's going to happen because a lot of it comes down to education. Just like I began as a Democrat, there are people who truly believe in the NAACP. They truly believe that BET is in their best interest. And as I begin to understand, one of the things I do believe is once this minority of black Americans finally get the truth, there's going to be hell to pay.
I will tell you, you remember when I was on Fox and I did the Black History Week, there wasn't a single... I couldn't scratch my nose without being torn apart in the newspapers every single day, except for that week. I did a whole week of shows, 5 hours of episodes of black history.
Not a peep about it.
Not a peep. We thought we were going to be torn apart. Not a peep, because it was true.
They didn't want to draw attention
to it. And they didn't want to draw any attention to it. And I will tell you that I had two guys on the floor that were black. And they were so angry after the first episode. And I thought they were angry at me, because during the episode, I could see them turn. Yeah. And I went to them afterwards and I said, guys, did I offend you in some way? One of them couldn't even look at me. And he finally turned around and he said, who the hell did this to us? Yeah. Who has stolen our history? And he told me about how his mother used to try to find heroes that were heroes of America and couldn't find them.
Yeah.
And they were really angry.
I'm going to tell you the difference during the time that happened and now. We've had 8 years of Barack Obama. We have black Americans, and I have relatives of my own that have been voting Democrats, but said, Burgess, I'm open. I'm now looking. I mean, they're recognizing that all the promises has been giving has not come through, but they still do not know where the truth is. So it is a team effort. And this is what we have to understand as Americans. It's blacks like myself standing up and being vocal, willing to take the hits. It's other blacks who don't want to stand up and be vocal, but go into that voting booth and they vote their conscience and they vote their principles, even they don't tell anybody else about it. And it's other Americans that have the courage to allow us to have this voice and have the courage not to apologize for our history. And I think that's the most demeaning thing I've seen happen is when you have white Americans apologizing for our history, our American history, which allowed us to have the freest country in the history of mankind, and for anybody to apologize to me for my history, because I happen to know my history, and I happen to know that my parents and my grandparents, my great-grandparents, did everything they needed to do to get the respect of Americans. We just need to do the same thing.
Well, I will tell you this. I think the most empowering book I have ever read as a white man comes from Booker T. Washington. And now, if you buy a brand new, I have a first edition copy, and I have a brand new copy. The brand new copy comes with a preface from a Harvard or one of those guys, a professor saying, we don't know even how much of this is true about his life. They are trying to discredit him because the message in that is pull yourself up and don't listen to anyone.
I understand the racist thought that goes behind that. In other words, Booker T. Washington doesn't have the capabilities or the intelligence to do what supposedly he did.
Yes.
And that's the subtle message here. Understand this too. The first thing the NAACP did when they came out was attack Booker T. Washington. In today's society, I remember growing up thinking Booker T. Washington was an Uncle Tom. That's because of the progressive message.
Really?
Because the progressive message and the twisting of the NAACP, of the message that he wanted to have us be independent, strong, and not have to ask anybody for anything.
Well, he's attacked in his own day. And he's been attacked ever since.
And unfortunately, he passed away in 1915. So it gave them enough time to change the message and to change the perception of who he is. So they have.
So he's not respected.
No.
And Frederick Douglass, he's still respected, isn't he?
He is.
But nobody seems to know anything about him. The progressives, they don't ever talk about him. And he was a perfect example of pretty much saying what Black Lives Matter did, or is saying, until he applied himself and said, I'm going to read these things. I'm going to find out myself. And then he became a wildly patriotic American who fought by the side of Abraham Lincoln. And was still, you want to talk about oppression, was still oppressed by those who were trying to say, shut up, black man.
And he went from an opponent to a proponent of the Constitution.
Yes.
Can I say this? Because I think it's kind of fitting. My concept is that because of all these things that's happened, and because we now have a race of 28% of black Americans who are frustrated, they're fed up, they still love our country, and all they need to do is be educated, and once they do, they will flip also to realize the Democratic Party has not been their friend. Wouldn't it be interesting if that small group not only pulled my community back from the abyss of socialism, pulled our country back, and to say the least that we came in here as slaves, and we can end up being the salvation, literally, of our nation just by...
I think Barack Obama could have been. I think Barack Obama will go down in history as one of the greatest missed opportunities in world history. If he were a man who actually believed some of the things that he says in his great speeches, if he actually believed the things that Martin Luther King believed, yeah, he would have united this country and propelled us to new heights unlike what the world had ever seen.
Our country was ready for it. That's yep. why black and whites, our black and whites were saying, this is our chance. This is the
yes. Imagine how he could have empowered young black kids to dream and to go after their goals and not rely on the government and be the person that he became.
But he doesn't believe that.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't believe it.
For some reason, he wants to slam the door shut behind him.
And that's the thing. We have to understand our enemy is not us. It's ideology and it's socialism.
Yes. Yeah.
It's colorblind. It's class versus, it's class over race. So you have elitist blacks and elitist whites with the same philosophy of using blacks to move forward. So you see why the NAACP has been silent with all the misery. It's because at the end of the day, they get their power by tying themselves into white liberals or white progressives. So it is truly ideology we're fighting today.
Are you on social media, Burgess? You must get
hammered.
Just bludgeoned.
I'm going to give you a football analogy.
Okay.
Football analogy, okay? And this is great. Because when I grew up, my parents have just, I've watched principle all my life. And it's like the guy who's on the sideline practicing and getting ready to go. He wants to go in the game. He's pulling on the coach, let me in. And for three quarters, he doesn't go in. And the coach finally turns to him and says, okay, now's your chance. And that's kind of where I see this opportunity. It's I look forward to me and other people like me, this opportunity to get on the field of action and take the hits, because this is really what we did. This is the time for us to get this done.
That's great.
At the end of the day,
you got to be able to take those hits, though.
At the end of the day, it's our country, it's our race, it's our people, and if you put that as a priority, all that other stuff doesn't matter.
The name of the book. I mean, if you've been with us for the last 45 minutes, you got to get this book. The name of the book is Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps by Burgess Owen. Burgess Owens, you will love the book, and we love having you. We love having you. You are a breath of fresh air.
There's still time in the hour for you to give Stu that Super Bowl ring tattoo he's looking for.
For those who are watching, I was an Andy Reid fan, so I'm getting a pull for these guys.
But not an Eagles fan, strangely.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.